I appreciate that song. I read recently that we need to view our Heavenly Father as the best earthly father that we can think of. We do have a wonderful, kind Heavenly Father that cares for us and helps us, and we thank the Lord for that this morning. I also want to thank the Lord for our fathers here in this congregation. Appreciate you all very much. I see the Lord in your faithfulness and in your love. I see the Lord working in your life, and I thank God for, you know, the Marines, they talk about wanting a few good men. And we have a few good men here, and we thank the Lord for each one of you. I wanted to read a little bit of a poem. It's called The Measure of a Man. It's not really a poem, I guess, but it's... The measure of a man is not determined by his show of outward strength, or the volume of his voice, or the thunder of his actions, or of his intellect or academic abilities. It is seen rather in terms of the love that he has for his family and others, the strength of his commitments, the genuineness of his friendships, the sincerity of his purpose, the quiet courage of his convictions, the fun, laughter, joy, and happiness he gives to his family and others, his love of life, his patience and honesty, and his contentment with what he has. I don't know about you, but I kind of like that definition of the measure of a man. Sometimes we look at the exterior, but the real measure of a man is in his heart, in his spirit. I was thumbing through our photo album last night and saw a lot of baby pictures and children and different things that we had did together as a family, and a lot of good memories. But it's gone. That part of my life is over with. But now it's my grandchildren. And not saying my children's out of the picture, but I don't tell them what to do no more. They're grown up. They're making their own choices, their own decisions. And I'm just there to encourage and support and help them. And it goes by so quickly. It goes by, as I look at those pictures, it seemed like it was just yesterday. But I'm thankful that I got to thinking how the Lord has granted the desires of my heart and my life. As a young child, I remember desiring a praying family, a family that prayed, and I was exposed to that. As I didn't have that at my home, but I was exposed to it on a couple of occasions, and I admired that, and I, in my heart, I desired that, and the Lord gave me that. He gave me a wonderful wife. That was another desire of my heart, for a companionship, a companion. And I remember going through a struggle of praying, you know, which one? What companion? It was a struggle. I remember praying and seeking the Lord, and Lord, what is your will? What's your design? Looking back, the Lord worked it all out in His time and has given me a wonderful, wonderful companion. And I would, if I had it to do all over again, I'd do it again. She's stayed with me and been there together. And I just thank the Lord how God meets the desires of our heart and of our life as we live for Him and look to Him. He's not wanting to make life miserable for us. He's not wanting to make life hard for us. He does allow us to go through difficult places, close places, circumstances, to develop faith and character and growth in us. He does allow for that. But through it all, I look back over my life and I've enjoyed my family. I enjoyed reading books to them. I enjoyed going to camp meetings and all those types of things. I really look forward to that. And on one occasion, I wanted to share Brother Austis Wilson. I don't know how many remember him. I know the older ones do. I admired him. He was a spiritual giant to me, in my mind. He wasn't a very tall man, wasn't a very big man. But he was a spiritual giant in the knowledge of the scriptures and the things that he shared, and how the Lord blessed him in so many wonderful ways to be a blessing. But I remember one year at Monarch under the old tabernacle, Brother Austis Wilson got up to preach. And his message was, the bulk of his message was on how he had failed his sons. To me, that took a lot of courage, a lot of humility to share your fault and your weakness with the whole Monarch congregation. He talked about different times that his boys wanted to do something with him. They would throw him a football, want him to come play football. And most of the time, he never had time. He never had the time. He never made the time. He never took the time. And he remembered over and over, he recounted different times that his boys wanted to do something with him. And he was busy holding revival meetings. He was busy counseling other people. He was busy praying for the sick, reaching out. And he said, I lost my sons. Well, that message touched me very deeply. And I didn't want that to be my lot. And I didn't want to neglect my own family for the church. There's a balance. And there's a balance in everything. if we get out of balance, and I think it's easy for us as men to do that. We get involved, so heavily involved in our work that it almost consumes us, and it's easy for that to happen. I did a lot of things with my children from that message. I did a lot of things with my children. We went camping. We went snow skiing. We went to the coast. A lot of different things that we did together, but I didn't really know how to connect and meet their emotional needs. You don't meet emotional needs just by altogether being in company. And I think that is one of the weaknesses that we as men have. One of my weaknesses is not to express sometimes the love that's there. I love my children. I love my family growing up. But sometimes we don't express much verbally to fill their emotional cup, to meet their emotional needs. It has to be something very specific, something very purposeful. And I feel like I failed in that area of my life. But I want us to, through all of our mistakes, all of our failures, Brother Austis, spiritual giant in my mind, made some mistakes, and I know of another mistake he made. I won't bring that up, but they weren't perfect. They didn't go through life unscathed. They didn't go through life doing it all right, and everything is totally perfect. They were human, and they made their mistakes, but they stayed there. They stayed in there. I was reading not too long ago, a statement said that failure only exists when the failure is on the inside, when we give up on ourselves, when we quit. Failures is a part of life. Mistakes are a part of life. You see that in the apostles, and that's one reason why I like the scriptures. It just tells things like they are. David was a wonderful warrior, a wonderful prophet, a wonderful poet. But boy, did he blow it. Made some big mistakes. You can read about it in the 51st chapter of Psalm. But he repented. He asked God for forgiveness, and he turned his heart to the Lord, and he didn't quit. And he didn't give up. And I believe it's very vital for us to do the same thing in our failure. You know, it's easy, and our flesh would desire sometimes just to throw things aside, and but there's forgiveness in the Lord. The Lord forgave David. That was a great trespass. He had a man killed. That was a great trespass. But there's great forgiveness and there's great help. We want to be able to acknowledge our failures and move on, putting the past behind us and move on, that God can help us. He wants us to be able to move on and believe in His love and believe in His forgiveness. And I think some of us have probably made some mistakes too in life. All of us have or will. But we want to keep on. And I want to thank the fathers this morning for you're here. You know, raising a family is not easy. Being married is not easy. I'd do it all again. I'd take the same course if I had to do it again. But it's not easy. Marriage is not easy. Raising children is not easy. We have six of our grandchildren together just a few days ago. Six of them. And whoa, it's not easy. I'm past that stage, so I can send them back home. But you realize what nerves are. They come in, and we moved our piano into the living room, and boy, talk about playing the piano, both hands, boom. No melody, no rhyme. We've got to forbear with that. We've got to, you know, we can put a little limit on it, but we don't want to squelch all their creativity. We don't want to squelch all their childhood. And I don't want to be a grouchy old grandpa that never allows for mistakes, that never allows for youth. We were there at one time. We just probably don't remember. And I told Lee, I said, "Boy, was our children." She said, "Well, maybe that's in part from boys between boys and girls." I thought, "Man, I don't remember my children being like that loud." But we've got to give them room, and we got to be there. That's part of it, being grandpa. I want to encourage us with the verse here in 1 Peter. First Peter, the third chapter. And the 10th verse. It says, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." It says, "He that will love life." Is it wrong for us to love life? Is it wrong to love life? The Lord is the creator of life. The Lord created this. I didn't, you know, we didn't do it. We're not here by choice, but the Lord created this. But this verse says, "He that will love life." I want us to continue to enjoy life, to enjoy the good things that God has bestowed upon us, to enjoy, you know, it talks about husbands loving your wives, loving your children. It's all through the scriptures, honoring them, loving them, valuing them, cherishing them. The Lord wants us to love life. He wants us to love relationships, to love our time together, to take the time to be tuned in to those opportunities and those moments that we have when they're there, that, you know, we go sometimes to restaurants and it's sad to see so many families. There'll be a father and a mother and children, all of them are on the cell phone. Right there at the supper table. The Lord wants us to tune in to the presence. You know that one saying on the, it talked about the two thieves on each side of the cross was yesterday and tomorrow. Yesterday and tomorrow can rob today of its joys, of its blessings. And we want to be able to enjoy. It doesn't take a whole lot. It doesn't take a whole lot of money. It doesn't take a whole lot of things. But it takes time. And it takes interest. It takes an investment of our time and our heart. And let's endeavor to love life. Love the journey. Love, I believe the Lord wants us to, not selfishly or in a selfish way, but to love the good.
That's right.
And to learn and be able to absorb and soak in. You know, when you have relationships and you have friendships and you're able to get beyond the talk of the weather and beyond the talk of politics and those things, and you start sharing heart to heart, it's like the sun shining. You know, you go out in the sun, you just feel the warmth. It does something for you. It gives you hope. It gives you strength. And that's the way relationships, God uses relationships together far more than what we know and understand. Brother Austis may have never known the impact that that message had on my heart and my life. Maybe after that message, the devil jumped on him and he got discouraged. And you should have kept your mouth quiet and all those types of things. But all the encouragement and the strength, the sunshine that it brings when we're able to open up our heart to God's blessing and God's faithfulness to us. He that will love life. Let's enjoy the times that we have. I remember Brother Sammons one time at a minister's meeting. He was talking about taking young boys fishing and stuff like that. And he said, people don't look on that as very spiritual. But that's spiritual. Taking time to go do something together, to be able to share and converse with one another. On the surface, some people have in mind, well, that's not anything spiritual. That's what Brother Salmon's thought was, those things are needful. Those things are important. Those things are so valuable. I remember not too long ago, I was at a funeral and one of the boys came up to me and he said, I was living at Veneta at the time, but he said, you took us target shooting. And I barely even remembered it. I remembered after he said it, but he said, you took me and one of my cousins target shoot. And he said, I just want to say I appreciated that so much. I relished that and I appreciated you doing that. It meant so much to us. But many times we don't realize how far those little things go. Sometimes we minimize them in our minds. But those things are valuable. Those things, he talked about doing good. Doing good is a blessing and a help. And Lord, help us today to love to love life. Even as we get older and things, you know, we don't have our vitality in our youth, but we can still have that love of life, that love of people, that love of relationships, and trying to work at them and trying to be blessed. You know, I believe that's much of the work of the Lord. That's much of the work of God today, is reaching out, communicating, talking, visiting. I believe that goes a long way in the work of the Lord, and God can use that. He mentioned in Ecclesiastes 3 and 11. Wanted to get that verse. It says, He hath made... 3:11. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. It said He has made everything beautiful in its time. And before that, He talks about a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. And Lord, help us to discern the seasons and the times that we have, and be in tune with the moment, be in tune with what God is wanting to work and what God is wanting to say. In verse 13, He says, He also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. He wants us to enjoy what He's given us. The talents, the blessings, the skill. He wants us to enjoy those things. Enjoy using them. Enjoy life. And it's an attitude. It's an attitude of heart and mind. And He wants us, I believe, to be able to eat and drink and enjoy the good of our labor that we take under the sun. I appreciate, you know, it says a lot to me today that you men are here with a desire to serve God, a desire to live for the Lord. That means a lot this morning. And I trust God will bless us all, bless our fathers that He's given to us, that He would encourage and strengthen us all. Yeah, we've all made mistakes. We've all been there. But the Lord still has life. He still has a future. He still has an expectation for us. And we don't want to lose that. We don't want to just recluse ourselves and from friendships. We want to do the opposite. We want to invest our time and energy in it. Anyway, I appreciate you deeply, and I want to say Happy Father's Day to each of you. We appreciate you all very much. And you've been you may not know it, but you've been big encouragement to me. We don't always know, but I'll say this, you've been a big encouragement to me. And last business meeting, I was thinking about Brother Willie. He probably could have worked on our heat and air deal for us. But we miss him. All of us fathers, we have a place to fulfill. Our work is not over. I don't know if you've got a lazy boy or not, lazy boy recliner. Those are kind of nice, but let's don't spend too much time there. We still have work. There's still life. There's still things that God wants us to do. Pray for me. Appreciate your attention this morning.